Guys, stop making these two hygiene mistakes. Drugstore body wash is actually synthetic detergent.
It might as well just say makes balls smelly.
And your loofah is a soggy sack of bacteria that can cause skin irritation and acne.
I don't want your flakes on me.
Upgrade to Dr. Squatch. High quality, natural soap made for men. It's cold processed, naturally exfoliating soap that replaces both your body wash and loofah.
All in one genius little bar.
Dr. Squatch soap even helps with skin conditions by using healthy ingredients like shea butter, aloe vera, and Alaskan glacier mineral clay. Choose from 4 levels of grit for every skin type. Stop washing your nuts with harsh chemicals that make you smell like a middle school boy. Smell like a man with 17 long-lasting scents, such as pine tar, fresh falls, and wood barrel bourbon. Get your softest skin ever, plus free shipping on orders over $50 and a 30-day money-back guarantee.
I can't stop touching him.
Turn the camera off.
Join 300,000 other men who've updated their hygiene routine with Dr. Squatch. Save up to $27 when you bundle.
Go to godfathersofpodcasting.com right now. Click the link on the screen, follow it to Dr. Squatch's website, and use our promo code DSCSquatch10 to get 10% off your order.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is Friday, February 10th, and we are the Godfathers of Podcasts. And in case this is your first time checking us out, we have been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. This is the show where we talk all things pop culture, movies, TV, music, sports, current events. This is also the place where you'll get killer exclusive interviews each and every week. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and dozens more. My name is Donnie Da Silva, and it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Rick to my Morty, the Shrek to my Donkey, the Wayne to my Garth, the Thelma to my Louise. This is my man, Chris Tidwell.
Which one drove off the cliff?
I think they both did, bro.
No. Who is actually driving? Like, the passenger's got no say in the matter. They could have just jumped out or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like, you really want to go, but the person driving over the cliff was so fed up.
Yeah. In this scenario, I was the one, I was definitely the one driving. And for anyone who'd listened to last week's show, finding out what a horrible passenger you are, they know why I drove off the cliff.
Oh my God. Why don't you just wear a 1776 hat? Why? Like,
you and your restless limb syndrome punching the driver while you're drunkenly passed out. Like, give me a break. I would gladly drive over a cliff to avoid that again.
Oh, that's so good that you would drive over a cliff for me.
Hi, everyone.
What's going on, Donnie? How are you this week?
Entirely possible that we've got some first-time viewers, first-time listeners this week. Because, Tid, we have alluded over the last few weeks to some big news for the Godfathers of Podcasting. And I guess it's time now that we let the cat out of the bag. What do you think? Once and for all?
For the first part? Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. I mean, we have more news to come.
Yeah.
But here's part one. News. Yeah. Here's part one of our big news that we want to share with all of you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce right now, longtime friend of the show and the owner of the Sunday Night's Main Event Network. This is Brady Wedham. Brady, what's going on, my man?
What is going on, guys? How are you?
We're doing well, dude. So explain to the audience, what the hell are you doing here?
Well, I'm co-owner of the SM&E Radio Network along with my partner, Randy Charpentier. And so SM&E, if anybody doesn't know what that is, it's called Sunday Night's Main Event. And Sunday Night's Main Event is basically a 20-year-long legacy show here in Canada that plays on TSN Radio and iHeartRadio. It's syndicated through podcasts, all that good stuff. It's basically available anywhere that you want to listen to it, whether it's on the radio or on online. But we're one of the longest running internet shows basically ever. And I think that you guys know that because I believe you were on the original version of Sunday Night's Main Event when it used to be called The Law.
Oh, was that us?
That was you guys. So I believe what's happening here is we're welcoming you back to your own network.
The network we accidentally built, we're being welcomed back in.
I think Motley Crue wrote a song about this, didn't they? I'm coming home. That's awesome. But this is way more than just one show.
Yes,
as we're talking about the way that it was in the past, right?
So our main show plays on Sunday. Depending on where you are inside of Canada, it'll be usually it's syndicated, but it plays live at 11 o'clock on Sunday nights, which is that time slot's been there since the late '90s. And then we have a Sunday night's main event network, which has about 16 different shows on it currently. We are like a content factory creating machine at the moment. We took the network over at the beginning of this year, and we are definitely mashing through the roof with viewers and listeners. We have a YouTube channel. We're really, like I said, we're a factory content creating machine, a little bit of everything for everyone. So we started as wrestling. We've expanded to not only MMA, we've opened up to music. We have your lovely gentleman coming on, having some of the craziest interviews found online. Just broadening the horizons, in a sense, from where the network was when we got it to where it is going to be here by the end of the year. So we are super stoked to have you guys on. I cannot, can't even stress how thankful I am that you guys not only accepted the invitation, but how amazing this relationship is going to be going forward.
I think what Donnie's trying to say when he doesn't have his microphone muted is that it's going to be very, very good for the rest of us as well, at least for that first little bit. So isolate these statements, Donnie, if you would, from Brady, because we're going to probably need these in court at some point when he pulls the old Vince McMahon on us and tells us, "You're fired."
But I'll at least give you guys a week or two before I decide to sell to Saudi Arabia. I'll at least give you a heads up before I do that so that you can make your arrangements and whatnot for your future endeavors.
That's amazing.
Wouldn't be the first time I had the show taken, but it's okay. All that being said, we are super excited, dude, because, we talk all the time. The very roots of this show, we are the Godfathers of Podcasting because of what Tid and I did back in 1996, which was founding the show that is what your flagship is built on.
Yep.
So you're right. It is a coming home for us, and you guys have built a huge loyal fan base. And so to all of you out there, if you know me, if you know Tid, hi. And if you don't
hold it against us,
and if you don't stick around with us, because you might have some fun.
I definitely can't take credit. Not only is it you guys laying that foundation, but people like Dan Labransky, Mike McGuire, Jason Agnew, who have carried this, throughout the years underneath their banners, or they've been involved with it in some sort. It's been definitely a team effort, and it continues to be a team effort. And we're just stoked for the future. We're stoked to have you guys on, and I can't wait to hear your second announcement.
100%.
Oh, the second announcement's another doozy.
Yeah, 100%. They have done a fantastic job of carrying on with the show, the legacy. It's unfortunate that the name had to change for whatever reasons, but it is what it is. It doesn't make the content any less. And I think that from this point forward, with what you're doing with all of the other shows, that one show, along with all of the rest of them, is going to benefit greatly. And we're pretty excited to be a part of it and can't wait to see what the listeners and followers of the network think about us, because I'm pretty sure it won't take long before we can tell them what we think of them.
So Brady, explain to everyone just so they understand. So moving forward, everyone is still going to be able to get our show on all the regular channels that they become used to. But in addition to that, where now do they go if they want to tune in and get it as part of the SNME network?
Here's where they're going to go. They're going to go to SundayNightsMainEvent.com. And you can follow it. You can even get early access and ad-free access to some of their stuff through our Patreon, which is about $1 a week, depending on where you are in North America. But that's less than buying me a coffee once a week, right? Who wouldn't want to buy me a coffee once a week? But yeah, so you can find us on SundayNightsMainEvent.com and social media at SundayNightsMainEvent. You Google SundayNightsMainEvent, we'll pop up. So
you take a coffee from Tid, you never know what he spiked it with. So beware.
I hear it stunts your growth.
That's probably why he's been buying me coffee since I've been a teenager.
What's my excuse? Then what am I? Was I supposed to be 7'6"?
I can take some of your height. I'm 5'6", so you got 2 feet on me. But guys, thank you very much for having me on
here.
I'll let you get back to your amazing interview this week. We're so stoked to have you on again. And yeah, I can't thank you enough.
Thanks so much, brother. Brady Wedham. He is the co-owner of the SNME Network. Make sure you check him out. What are you doing over there, Tim? So when the guest leaves, just bring him in, bring him in. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
So remember, you can now catch the Godfathers of Podcasting on Sunday nights, mainevent.com, in addition to all the other regular places that you've been listening to us up until today. We have more announcements that are coming in the next week or two that will affect where else you can get this program. I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Opening up to even more new audiences and eyeballs and ears and everything else. So we're extremely excited, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun moving forward.
I have a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
Are you growing stuff in your studio there behind you?
Am I growing stuff?
Yeah, well, because I was wondering like why you have that gigantic grow light right behind you there.
Oh, it's not a grow light. That's actually, it's not showing up very well on camera, but it's actually
a grow light.
No, dude, it's a
what have you got going on there? Is it like some kind of fluorescent gimmick?
It's an on-air light.
Oh, and you have it too close to the camera, so it,
When it's close to the camera, it looks great.
Now it looks ugly again. Put it back.
Shut up. I know this rig.
Hey, man, you were right there too.
Nope.
You were right there. Nope. You were right there.
Just cover your face for the rest of the show. It'll be fine. Donnie. It'll be fine.
That is a spot on impersonation, I must say.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great guest coming up in about 10 minutes time or so, but until then, we have some stuff we want to touch on. First and foremost, it feels like about 50% of the NBA players switched teams today. Like, crazy. Holy crap, man. Shams Charania and Adrian Wojnarowski, they earned their bread today, man. They were just breaking stories left and right. The Woj bombs were bombing, and really fascinating to me. I would say 99% of the deals that happened, Tid, from late last night until today at 3 p.m. Eastern were just deck chairs being shuffled. Like, literally moves that teams make just to say they made a move. They didn't get better. They didn't get worse. You know?
The biggest move that you saw today?
Well, without a doubt, it's the Kevin Durant move, because he's the biggest name that moved. It's not even a question.
Do you think Brooklyn did Brooklyn finally just have a fire sale?
Brooklyn got themselves into a real power play from day one when they brought in
everybody.
When they brought in Kyrie and they brought in KD. You know, when in the first year Kyrie was saying, "We don't need a coach. We're good enough. We coach ourselves." You knew this experiment was doomed, you know, right from there. And then Kyrie is a guy that just has trouble follow him from team to team to team, and he can never seem to get it together. So Kyrie demands a trade last week. Brooklyn has been mired in controversy, and over the last couple months, they've actually been playing well. And now that they start to hit their stride and it's getting, you know, we're starting to crank up to the playoffs, Kyrie says, "I demand a trade. I'm not playing for this team anymore." They basically traded him for a guard that Dallas didn't want anymore and a guy who's a bench player on 25 out of 30 teams, a late first round pick, and I think a couple seconds. So basically, Kyrie got dumped for a couple of ham sandwiches. Then his BFF KD gets traded because apparently he went to management and said, "My boy's not here. I'm not here either. Get me out of town." So they decide to trade him to the Phoenix Suns. The Suns send Mikal Bridges, really nice two-way player, 27 years old, never been an all-star, never will be, but a really, really nice player. And then a bunch of guys, right?
Like, like 1,000 fucking picks.
Not even 1,000 picks. One first rounder. And 2 seconds, I believe, is what it was.
I thought I saw something like 4 or something like that.
Was it 4? Oh, I'm thinking of a different trade. Yeah. I think it might have been 4 picks.
four fucking first rounders, the three fucking players, a large ham sandwich, free tickets to the fucking movies forever.
They got Jay Crowder, who hasn't played all year because he's been in a contract dispute and in a playing dispute with Phoenix, and then they immediately flipped him to Milwaukee. So, like, they got guys. They just got guys. They didn't get a star player. They ended up trading James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, their three-headed monster, and they got one all-star back, which was Ben Simmons, who will never again be an all-star.
I think they call that a building year.
They call that a clusterfuck.
It's a sale. They had a fire sale. They were like, oh shit, we're broke.
I love the move the Toronto Raptors made at about 1 o'clock this morning, where they picked up former Raptor Jakob Poeltl. Poeltl was part of the trade that brought Kawhi Leonard to Toronto, which brought a championship to Toronto. Jakob Poeltl returns to Toronto for not very much, a protected first round pick, couple seconds, and Kem Birch, who wasn't playing anyways. And Jakob Poeltl is a bona fide starting center. That solves so many problems for the Toronto Raptors. I liked a couple of other moves. The Los Angeles Clippers, bro, they had me shaking my head. It's like the last 2 months, every story has been, we need a playmaking point guard. We want a defensive-minded, three-point shooting playmaker. We want a Kyle Lowry. We want a Fred VanVleet. We want a Mike Conley. We want someone like that. They go and get Bones Highland, who's a scorer, and then they go and get Eric Gordon, who's a scorer. That team has so many scorers and nobody that wants to pass the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what that means? That means they're not going to score.
Well, they can score individually.
But I'm saying that doesn't add up.
It's just one-on-one basketball.
That turns into, as soon as you can isolate, boom, you've figured out the fucking play. It's done. It's
an
over.
ISO ball crazy. In the playoffs does crazy. Not work. It's been figured out.
What else is going on?
Lots of stuff going on in the NBA. Other than that, what did you think? Because there was a lot of hubbub. Sam Smith and his satanic performance at the Grammys. What did you think of that?
I mean, I thought that Lil Nas X was probably a little bit closer to a better production of it. What? Because Sam Smith came out in some red skin tight outfit and some horns on a hat. Big fucking deal. Who cares? Listen, first of all, for me, I'm older than a fucking Beacon Jail. So I don't really understand and know who Sam Smith is, because it's not a genre of music that I listen to.
Not a pop
fan. So I'm really not. And we all know that. So whatever. But if he comes out there and he's wearing, he came out in his best version of the fucking Eddie Murphy fucking outfit. Red leathers. Big deal. Did his thing. I don't care. Let him do it.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I couldn't believe how upset people were about it.
Yeah.
It's 2023. I feel like we've seen things that are so much worse than this. And I'm just
completely covered, right? Yeah. Would have been weirder if it was because it was a full body suit, if I'm not mistaken, right? Could you imagine if it was just like a full body suit, but the nipples were cut out?
That'd be cool.
You know what I'm saying?
I want that.
Like, suit. Add a little bit of flair. Then I could understand why people might get mad, because I don't know. Maybe he's got ugly nipples. You know what I mean? He doesn't have like sexy little nipples. He's got like big old pepperonis or something.
I guess the devil ladies dancing in the cage did not sit well with some audiences.
You've never been to a club in the 90s or the early 2000s? Go-go dancers all danced in cages, bruh.
I know. I'm trying to understand who still watches these shows. Is it just Bible Belters? Is that why there's so much outrage? Like, who still watches award shows?
They're looking for content. Who watches them is producers and PAs for the next day's string of shows.
People in the business.
String of shows. And then other people that are looking for stuff to complain about in their social media circles the next day as well. I don't get it. I don't understand the Grammys anyways, to be honest with you.
No, I don't either. I think it's a bit of a weird flex.
Yeah, I think they're weird.
I don't really get where the outrage comes from, because I feel like we've seen so many other things that have been so worse. There's no level of desensitization when it comes to awards shows.
Do you have a favorite one though? Like, which one is closest to reality for you?
Closest to reality?
People's Choice Awards.
Oh, favorite awards show.
Yeah.
I feel like you've asked me this before. I don't know,
MTV,
man. Like,
MTV Awards, Nickelodeon fucking awards.
I guess if there was one, it would be the Emmys, because I love TV. So, you know.
But you don't think that those are a work too?
Oh, who knows? Yeah, probably. But I think they're all based on, you know, picking whoever's hot. And if someone's been nominated a bunch of times, it's probably their turn. And
how the fuck did Bonnie Raitt win Song of the Year?
I don't know, dude. I have no good answers.
Let's explain that one. I didn't even know that Bonnie Raitt was like still writing music, to be honest with you.
There's a lot about these awards shows that I just don't understand anymore. You know, I just miss the days of the Slammies, where we had like Hulk Hogan and Mean Gene and Captain Lou singing Land of a Thousand Dances. Can't we have that again? That would be lovely.
Can we bring that back for one of these award shows?
That would be great.
You know what I mean? As like one of those, like with some posthumous, like
Jim Neidhart sliding across the
holograms,
stage.
Some holograms to going along with the people that are still left.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine that? Right? For one of those Lifetime Achievement Awards.
In other news, Tidwell, the internet, you're familiar with it.
Certain pages,
but it's on the verge of changing forever.
What?
Yes. What? Because the last, 25 years, I guess, the internet has been dominated by Google. Okay.
Okay.
Google gateways a lot of content. Google is by far the number one used search engine on the planet. It's not even close. And Google has long come under fire from people who think that Google gets paid to rank their search listings. And we know that there are ways to trick the search listings, whether it's SEO tricks, whether it's buying ads, whether it's whatever. We know that things can be scrubbed so that they're still on the internet, but they don't show up in a Google search. So for all intents and purposes to people, it's gone. Microsoft Bing is a competitor to Google and has been around for a minute. But no one really Bings shit, right? People Google shit. No one really Bings shit. But that could be changing. Is that because of
Friends, you think? Because nobody really liked Chandler?
His name should have been Chandler Google.
Is this what his job was the entire time?
No one knew.
But this was what it was? He was inventing a fucking app to go against Google? To go against Google?
Which wasn't a thing back then.
We didn't know that. We didn't know that. Nobody knew what he fucking did either.
So if you've been paying attention to the news over the last couple months, artificial intelligence app ChatGPT has been making headlines as being this crazy new app that can do a myriad of things, Tid. And ChatGPT has now been integrated into Microsoft Bing, which makes Microsoft Bing infinitely more powerful than Google. Instead of simply doing a search and turning back results based on keywords and relevancy and algorithms, the ChatGPT interface can actually think. ChatGPT, you could say to ChatGPT, hey, I'm a university student and I need a 5,000-word essay about Pride and Prejudice. And it'll spit it out for you in 15 seconds. Not even 2 seconds.
Now, how grammatically correct is it?
Grammar's not a problem. Sometimes there's stuff in there in terms of the way it says things, or it may not commit all the structure. Way on a thought. So you either have to...
And its choice of fucking adverbs?
No, that stuff's all clean. It's just the way that the thought process comes. So... some people are saying it's a really good thought partner, like you're brainstorming on how to do something. Hey, my first draft came from ChatGPT, and then I picked it up from there. And other people are using it strictly to go ahead and do their homework, do their work, do their whatever. And university profs are hating this shit because they can't check for plagiarism because it's original content.
Yo, fuck them. They've been teaching the same shit every year over and over and over without changing it up for the last 20 years. So it looks good on them.
I mean, you're not wrong. have you used ChatGPT yet? I'm just curious.
It costs money, doesn't it?
No, dude. No.
Yeah, no. It's online. No, I haven't done. I haven't. Did you?
I have. I made an account for us with the Godfathers of Podcasting.
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm going to check this out. What did you do already?
It is pretty wild. Here, let me pull it up for a second. I'm going to share this screen.
I can only imagine what kind of, like, could you actually have, like, write a TV show for me?
Let's do this. All right. Write a 30-second, I can't type. Write a 30-second commercial for the Godfathers of Podcasting. Podcast about
giant penises,
pop culture.
Oh, and that
hosted by Tony De Silva and Chris Tidwell. That's all I'm gonna say.
I mean, I feel like, oh, that's all. I mean, you pretty much just wrote script there. All right. And then what happens here?
It's doing it. Are you a fan of all things pop culture? Do you love staying up to date on the latest movies, TV shows, and celebrity gossip? Then you need to check out The Godfathers of Podcasting. Hosted by the dynamic duo of Donnie DeSilva and Chris Tidwell, this popular podcast is your one-stop shop for all things entertainment. With their unique perspectives and hilarious banter, they bring you the latest scoops on your favorite stars, TV shows, and blockbuster films. So sit back, grab your headphones, and join The Godfathers of Podcasting for a weekly dose of pop culture news and fun. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform.
Yo, interns are needed no more.
Bro. Like, how great is this?
Wow.
How great is this?
That is, like, literally, that is insane.
Right?
Like, so many, like, people that have been writing fucking bits and writing fucking, you know, commercials for how many years? Done. Out of here. You're fucking finished. Now, if you were to type in that same exact thing again, does it come up with this same exact commercial or does it change it up?
No. And the thing is, you can now interact with it and you can give it more details. You can give it more direction, right?
Like, I mean, if you just took the same exact words that you did,
it'll come up with something
right back in there. It would come up with a second option for you to do.
You got to think about it like you're talking to a person. So if you type in the exact same request, it'll probably give you the same answer. But if you say, I don't like it, change it up. That's all you got. And then it'll do it differently. You talk to it. So for example, if I say, write an introduction. I can't type today. Write an introduction.
Yo, do voice to text with it.
For voice actor Eric Bauza hearing on the Godfathers of Podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to sit back and enjoy the show because today's special guest is none other than the talented voice actor Eric Bauza. With a career spanning over two decades, Eric has lent his distinctive voice to countless beloved characters, bringing them to life with his impeccable talent and humor, from animated series like The Adventures of Puss in Boots and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to video games like Final Fantasy.
What's up, Godfathers? How's it going, Docs?
So did you guys just conjure me by using AI? Is that what happened just now?
I think what happened, dude. But you know what?
No, I'm not real. This is a virtual space. This is not happening.
It's a little trippy.
Yeah.
But you know what, Bauza? I don't want to totally be replaced by the AI. So how about I do this? How about we pretend we didn't do that? And I'll give you my actual big hello because I want to do it right. Okay.
It was fine. I loved it. I mean, you're one take Donnie is what they call you.
I don't want to be replaced by the machine. Plus, our intro is sponsored by Dr. Squatch. So make sure you go to Dr. Squatch's website. Well, go to godfathersofpodcasting.com, click the link, and use promo code DSC Squatch for 10% off. They've got their Valentine's Day special right now, the Bow Chicka Wow Wow Bar, which is a mix of red wine and exotic plants. It's time now for the official big hello. And we are welcoming this man back to our show for his second visit with us. He's a writer, director, producer, and animator, but you all know and love him as the voice of virtually all your favorite characters. Bugs Bunny, Tweety, Sylvester, Marvin, Daffy, Porky Pig, Speedy Gonzalez, Woody Woodpecker, Stimpy, and that's not even scratching the surface. He's been involved with some of the biggest animated franchises of all time: Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Iron Man, Scooby-Doo, Muppet Babies, Star Wars, Rick and Morty, American Dad, Bob's Burgers, Star Trek, Spider-Man, Powerpuff Girls, The Smurfs, Transformers, and so many more. He was one of the stars of the 2021 film Space Jam, and he's in the upcoming Super Mario Brothers movie. The last time he was on our show, he was a three-time Emmy-nominated voice actor, but now he's got one of them babies all to himself. Well-earned. In addition to all that, he's a successful entrepreneur and a co-founder of Retro Kid Clothing. If you grew up in the 80s, their stuff is for you. And, ladies and gentlemen, he's a hard-working dude, not a brown noser, plowing through Hollywood like a bulldozer. A true Toronto man, not some little poser. My friend went to his high school. Wonder if he knows. Was wondering if he'd down. Well, I'm getting kind of closer. Let's play a game. Red Rover, Red Rover. We call this man over. He's a big ass star with a ton of exposure. Give it up for our Emmy winning friend, Eric Bauza.
Well, that is an intro, if I've ever heard one. Definitely sponsored by Dr. Squatch with their Bow Chicka Wow Wow bar. I need to get some of that in my life.
Could we talk him into doing a Bowser Chicka Wow Wow bar?
Guys, thank you so much for having me back on the show. I hope you guys have been well since the last time we talked. And I was like, wow, I guess I have been busy. With that kind of intro, I'm like, I do remember working on some of these. But sometimes, as you guys know, like having even your own show, it just becomes one blur. Like, this is just part of your life, right? It's not even like another episode in the can. It's just, it's kind of like an involuntary like muscle flex or something. So thank you for reminding me, and thank you for reminding the listeners. And hey, what's up, guys, for all of you watching.
Cool thing, dude. And I want to say, like, I didn't put it in my intro, and neither did the artificial intelligence. But on top of everything else, you've also got the show now on CBC Gem. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's like another weird thing that happened, kind of like, I don't know. I've just had, again, this amazing like just streak of luck meeting folks that just reach out and just want to kind of give you a chance. Because, you know, I've spent most of my life in this situation behind a microphone. And if I'm ever in front of a camera or on Zoom, it's either been for interviews or work. If we're just kind of in a session, you know, the directors and writers, if I'm recording from home, I still go into the studio. I was actually, thank you guys for pushing my start time. I was in studio recording a session, and hosting a show like what you guys do, it's hard. It's not easy, and you have to study, and you have to know your stuff. And with this show, this company, Fathom Film Group, pretty much known for doing more documentary stuff, they pitched me this idea of a show where I would be the host, and we'd do deep dives on our favorite nostalgia 80s and 90s cartoons. But not so much a nostalgia show, but a deep dive on heavy-handed themes in cartoons, like racism, sexism, LGBTQ plus themes, drugs, capitalism, consumerism. And I was like, that sounds like a lot of work. And I was like, I'll do the pilot episode, and I'll say I did something with my life. People will watch it. They'll pass, and they go, "Who? I don't want to watch this guy." And then, sure enough, CBC in Canada, they picked it up for 6 episodes, and I'm like, "Crap! Now I got to work."
Yeah,
It was funny that you mentioned that, because it made me think, like, now you're doing stuff more in front of the camera. People see who you actually are.
Right.
Like, it's not just the voice behind there. They're like, oh, geez, he's not just some random Mel Blanc looking white guy.
Right? Yeah.
100%. Now, did it ever come up, Bugs Bunny, who you do infamously, did it ever come up because of his past? Because of, like, you know, the clearly racist past of Bugs Bunny.
It's kind of funny. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, so I'm doing like these deep dives and exposing these shows. And it's not like I'm throwing anyone under the bus. I'm kind of just saying, this is what it was. This is not an embellishment. This is kind of just how it was. And I talked to experts. The best part about the show is, like, we had three guests in 22 minutes, which is insane. Kudos to the editors of that show, because I talked to every one of those people for at least an hour. And, you know, when you whittle it down to three guests in 22 minutes, it's like, you know, you got it. They're sifting through getting all the good stuff, all like the educational, like, these are the facts. So we had a native Canadian film expert, Jesse Wente, and he made this incredible point, which was, he said that, you know, the filmmakers or the storytellers or whoever was producing these shows, because we talk about Native American depictions, we talk about Japanese stereotypes in, like, these Bugs Bunny cartoons, and it's like, or any, like, the Flintstones had one. I'm wearing a Flintstone shirt right now, and you know, I remember watching the episode where Betty and Wilma, they go to a judo dojo and et cetera, you know, and it's Mel Blanc doing the Mickey Rooney, you know, like Breakfast at Tiffany's rendition of how they depict Asians at the time. And he said they made these, you know, they made these stories and used these images like Cleveland Indians, for that matter. It's like,
right,
with the idea that we wouldn't even be there to see it. Like, the idea that we'd be gone, or that we would not even see these shorts. And then 2023, the magic of YouTube, here it all is. Like, you could just type it in and it's like, boop. And it's like, yeah, like, hey, look, it exists. And what's great about the show, stay tuned, is that we will have the first guest, which is like, oh, you remember that? Like a very, like, light intro. And then we'll have the expert, the guest number two, that goes, hey, this is what was going on. And then guest number three is like, hey, this is where we're moving forward. Yeah. And he goes, the fact that, you know, Filipino Canadian, Anishinaabe, you know, Native Canadian, sitting in two chairs on CBC having a conversation about this very subject was just not even a thing. Like, now that we're sitting here and having this conversation, this is the step forward. So
That's right, Doc. I never taught that. I just hope I don't get canceled for not being a real rabbit.
You know, like, aside from being the first non-white voice actor, you know, again, my idea starting this career was, again, no one's going to see my face. So what I look like doesn't matter. But now more than ever, representation matters. And I think the audience seeks an authentic storytelling point of view when it comes down even to the who's in the writer's room, who's behind the lens directing. You know, I think the audience has matured as well. So that's a good sign.
But do you ever feel, as a visible minority, do you feel any inner conflict when you're portraying some of these characters that may have had a negative connotation attached to them in the past?
Sure. But again, it's like, you know, I look at that even as a kid. I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's not me. You know, like, even as a kid, I wasn't like, how dare they? I was kind of like, okay. I mean, I get it. I get why, you know, war propaganda, you know.
Bugs Bunny Nips the Nips.
What a great name for a cartoon short. But again, it was made to, like, hey, this is the enemy. Get behind your the boys in blue, you know, like, let's these are our heroes. And that's just, it was what it was. But I think even now it's like, we've grown past that. And that's the point, is like, you don't want to erase what was there. You learn from your mistakes. And that's the only way you're going to grow and move past it. And look, you know, like I just won an Emmy Award for Bugs Bunny. And that's insane that not even Mel Blanc got an honor or that kind of recognition. And I always say
that's because Mel Blanc did racist stuff.
And a lot of coke.
No. For me, I always pay homage to the absolutely. I call him the blueprint, the OG. And if it weren't for him, I'd be delivering your Amazon packages tomorrow. So I'm not gonna hang that one over him. But it's just like, now look at where we are. It's 2023. We're live, and this is where we're at, you know.
Have you found it to be a big jump going from like not in front of a camera to in front of a camera doing the TV show? Was there a bit of a learning curve for you?
You got to do your hair now.
Yeah, you got to wear pants.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a hat.
Gotta show up with clothes on. You know?
Yeah, yeah. This is the funny thing about. I can't wait to meet you guys and just see your legs because I don't know if you guys have legs or not. But yeah, it's like what trained me for hosting or interviewing would be my Comic-Con resume, being a moderator on panels in front of a live audience of 1,000+ people. You know, where it is one take, it is live, it's timed, you know, intermixing conversations with people like Elijah Wood or Rebecca Sugar, creator of Steven Universe, you know, like all of these names and all of these big shows and the fandom and cutting in and out of clips. Let's throw to a clip, you know, like live technical directing kind of got me in a comfortable space. But yeah, you know, you do. Again, it's all about the research and it's all about like the writing. Kudos to our writer's room. They're very, very clever and very intelligent. And definitely we created the spine, you know, of the show. And I helped fill the, you know, I put the muscles and the, you know, the muscle tone around the skeleton. So, it was kind of there, but I know if we did a second season, it would be even better. And would love to have you guys on too to get your opinions on this stuff because it is part of what you know. The reason why you brought me on,
I could talk cartoons till I'm blue in the face. Tid will always take the stance of I'm not a child, and that's it. Like,
but know. I watched a ton of them when I was.
Yeah,
I have no bearing whatsoever on what new cartoons are out there. And it seems like everywhere I look, this seems to be that the formula is to just take something that was already done for a older audience and just make baby versions of it. Make teenage versions of it, right?
It's the only way to reintroduce these characters to a younger audience because, you know, when they were doing their research on... You know, here's a franchise like Muppets, you know, Muppets to us, we know who Muppets were. And it's kind of weird how we were introduced to Muppets as kids because that was a primetime show, right? It was kind of like a variety show. And that was
wasn't truly a kid's show. It was all adult humor with adult celebrities.
Right. But we, you know, like South Park, it's like this cute image of like, here's a frog made out of like a felt coat, like a green felt jacket and with ping pong balls for eyes. And it's as a kid, you're drawn to this unique design. Yeah. And, you know, nowadays you show a picture of Kermit the Frog to a kid and they're like, who the hell's that? Like, because not only is he not on any existing Muppet show that we were exposed to as kids, he's also not even on Sesame Street anymore, where that was the only time, like as a kid, if you're growing up in the 70s, 80s, that you could have seen Kermit outside of the Muppet show was a Muppet News Flash. You know, like he would be in the trench coat and the Little Miss Muppet sat on a tuffet. You know, he would interview all the fairy tale
guy does Kermit too. It's not fair. Like,
but I'm more of a Fuzzie.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. I used to think I did a half decent Kermit, but I don't. Hi ho, Kermit the Frog. Like it's like
hey.
You're trying to hit those the intonation I can get the inflection. But
when I was younger, I used to do a lot of Miss Piggies.
There you go. And we'll and that's the show, everybody. roll credits.
Eric, let me ask you something. Going to the content of your show on CBC Gem, stay tuned. I could talk cartoons, retro cartoons, until the cows come home. Is there a favorite of yours, a favorite 80s, 90s deep cut, like one of those shows that you feel like everyone else either never saw or forgot about, that it sits in your head rent-free and go, man, that show deserved a better place in history?
Well, one that they never ever really revisited was this animated show called Cops, and that was
I loved Cops.
It was fighting crime in a future time. Like, yeah. if I had like an extra million or $2 million just lying around the house, which I don't, I would love to just frame by frame remake the intro to that show, but live action. Like,
and the bad guys were called crooks.
Yeah, what the hell? And I mean, it was just like the weirdest thing. And the toys, this is back in the day when the toys actually came with like caps, like the explosives. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, we couldn't have that now.
What was the head of the cops? Was it bulletproof or
BP vest? Bulletproof vest.
Bulletproof vest.
Yeah. And it was like Bowser and Blitz. So the theme song was great. It was like Long Arm, Bowser and Blitz, Sundown, Mirage, Turbo Two Tone, Dr. Bad Vibe. Like, he would name off all the good guys. These are Empire City's most wanted criminals. Berserko, Big Boss. Yeah.
You remember the whole intro.
Rock Crusher. Yeah. I know it. I mean,
like, he knows it well. He knows it well enough to make me think that like there's a remake coming out, and that's actually what he was doing earlier.
The fact that we
Bowser as BP vest.
Yeah, the fact that we just spoke it into. I hope AI wasn't listening because now they're.
This
gonna,
is some great manifestation. I'll tell
Chat
you that
GPT
right now.
Is on it. Yeah. For me, dude, I'll tell you. I'll throw it out there for you. There's two of them that I throw out there. When I sometimes mention these shows to people, and they go, "What are you talking about? That's not a thing." You remember Mask?
Yeah, Mask. That was like, man, the toys for that. Actually,
the toys were killer.
Yeah, they're great. There's a toy store on Magnolia Boulevard here in Burbank that I frequent called Blast from the Past, and they have, I mean, everything is like they have stuff that's still in the original packaging, of course, and then there's just stuff that is like opened. And there was like one day, I think the truck from Mask was there. And I was like, oh, man, like, wow. I never had any of those when I was a kid. And I
had a couple of them and they were great. And the other show that always sticks out for me, my friend that I used to hang out with back in those days, he used to make fun of it and call it Thundercats in Space. But it was Silverhawks.
Silverhawks. Yeah, that was
what a great
one.
Show.
Silverhawks was like so good. The animation was great. I mean, again, this is like that age of cartoons that had the best theme songs. And it's funny because as an adult, you'll watch it and be like, get all revved up. The theme song's great. The animation is outstanding. And then you watch the show and it's like really bad animation.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's characters talking with the mouths. Everyone's mouths are moving at the same time.
I wish I could remember the Silverhawks theme song. All I remember is the hawks screeching at the beginning. I can't remember the theme.
There wasn't. I mean, Thundercats is such a memorable tune.
Oh, yeah.
But
Thunder.
I remember I had Bluegrass was the name of the toy that I had.
He was the country guy.
Yeah, he had the guitar.
Do you find yourself now, because you say that like, oh, I didn't have that when I was a kid. I didn't have that toy when I was a kid. Now you got a couple of shekels. You got one or two dimes. You know what I mean? The credits, you're almost into that Danny Trejo credit situation right now. Like it, you know what I mean? There's a few pages there. Like, do you find yourself, is it a struggle for you now? Or is there an inner voice? And by inner voice, I mean, you know, spousal unit that says, don't you fucking spend that money. Or do you just like when you walk in, it's like, I gotta have it.
I mean, you nailed it. Everything you just said, I've run through in my entire, every time I've ever stepped into, they don't exist here anymore, but I know they have one in Toronto left, but a Toys R Us or the toy section of Target or Blast from the Past. But like, I have the devil on my shoulder and then my son, who is like the 6-year-old devil that I have in person. And like, he's the excuse. He's the reason why I bought all the, you know, Hasbro, I'm telling you, man, geniuses reissued all of the real Ghostbusters toys from the 80s in the original packaging like the Ecto One, the Ghost Popper. Like they released every toy that I only had, like, maybe I think I had Egon and I think I may have had Peter, but I never had Winston. I never had Ray. I had the Ecto One, but I have them again. You know what I mean?
That's,
it's like,
so great.
Not, and that's what I covered in one of the subjects in my show is consumerism and capitalism, that, you know, in the Reagan era, he just kind of like, well, just fucking go bananas, everyone. Like, you can make toy commercials 22 minutes long now. And like, yeah, of course, who are you going to vote for again? That guy who let me like start this toy empire. And then not only am I going back to those, but because I'm voicing some of these characters now, like I'm going to buy the character that I'm going to, like, if you saw what was outside in my studio right now, you'd be like, I will give you a tour. I'll give you a guided tour of Blair Witch.
I will freak out. Ted will be like, whatever.
I have I collect different things.
No, you have a collection.
I have horror stuff.
Lot of horror stuff downstairs, so do I. But I've got a couple of things here. Like, I've got an OG, like, there's an OG original 80s ALF sitting back there for, know, obvious reasons and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, there's a few things askew about.
What is, like, your coolest possession, like, horror movie-wise? Like, what do you own that is, like, you're, like, your baby?
I know what it is.
I've got a couple of things. Like, I've got a couple of like Doug Bradley Hellraiser stuff. You know what I mean? But I do have this bust. I have a Pinhead bust that a guy from here in Canada made. And it's called Devil's Latex is the company. Shout out to Devil's Latex. And it's a Hellraiser bust, but it lights up from the inside.
What?
Yeah, it is
no
super
way.
Yeah,
and it's like life size.
Yeah, it's full size. This guy has a lot of stuff, a lot of, like, he gets a lot of the OG stuff from the actual film, so the stuff that he makes is made from the props.
I was
actual
gonna say,
made to measure. Yeah,
so this is an actual like face mold of the original actor.
Absolutely.
Who portrayed Pinhead.
Doug Bradley.
Yeah, I actually just saw an advertisement for, have you ever been to Monster Palooza here in Burbank?
I have not. No. I've heard about
Dude,
it.
Dude, you got to come. I know, right? Come on down. Dude, it happens in June. And then if you missed the one in June, I think they have one in October called Son of Monster Palooza. It's a bit smaller, but Monster Palooza is like...
That might be our next road trip, Ted.
The announcement was, Fairuza Balk will be there. It's great because, of course, the craft, but like they had an image of her as Dorothy from Return to Oz, which was one of my favorite, like the creepiest, one of the weirdest movies.
She'll always be Vicky Valancourt to me.
Right.
Hot.
That girl's the devil. Yeah. My son doesn't have what they call dissocial skills. Yeah.
Is there, because you've done so much stuff, and there's obviously, you know, when you start out, you've got a list, right, of people that you'd like to work with. And I'm sure that there's some, you know, inside of the voice actor world, but you're kind of like, now that you're getting on the other side of the camera and people are seeing, your personality is becoming much bigger than that. Does the list change? Is there anybody still on that voice actor list that you haven't had a chance to work with that you're like, yo, I really need to do something with them? Or, you know, are we in the Robert De Niro world now?
That's so funny you say Robert De Niro. I was actually just the session that I did leave.
I was just having dinner with Robert De Niro.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was like, what the hell are you doing sitting at my table? Get the hell away from me. Yeah. Bugs Bunny, whatever. I don't care about Bugs Bunny. Yeah, no, I was talking to the engineer and that was like, he said Al Pacino or Robert De Niro. Because like this guy, Mark over at Salami Studios, he has worked with like, he and I worked on the same day on the same project. Like it was me, him, and the director. Where it's the three of us, like taking a photo, and sitting in the chair behind the microphone was Billy Dee Williams. It was a Lego Star Wars project. Awesome. where I played Lego Luke Skywalker, and it's all you have to say is Tashi Station, and then you're in. That's it. That's the key word. You know,
I wanted to get power converters.
Yeah, Tashi Station. Yeah, you know, Mark Hamill, of course, will always be Luke Skywalker. But yeah, I don't know. I've worked with so many great people already that I'm like, I'm completely satisfied. I've worked with, I've been in the booth where it's just me and like Danny Trejo. You mentioned Danny Trejo earlier, and I'm there doing my half-ass impression of Antonio Banderas. And this is the guy that spent so much time with Antonio early in his career. And I'm like sweating bullets and it doesn't say a word. Like, we're acting out scenes and I'm doing my best, Antonio, where it's really low and really high. Puss in Boots. And, you know, I'm doing the best Puss in Boots I can do. And he is just like, you know, doing his thing. And then the session's done and he goes, hey. And I was like about to leave. He goes, you did a better job than Antonio could have ever have done to me. That's what he said to me. And I'm like, I just like finally like got to breathe. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. You did not even have to say anything. I'm like, selfie? And he's like, yeah, come on. Machete loves selfies. You know, like we took a picture together. And I swear to God, it was like one of the greatest days. Another time was like doing a scene on Puss in Boots again. But this time it was over Zoom because the actor was in New York. It was John Leguizamo.
Oh, I love John Leguizamo.
You know, Johnny Legs, you know, the original Luigi from a Mario Brothers movie. And, you know, he was playing a Jacques Spratt, and he was doing Jean Leguizamo doing a French accent. And I was doing my Antonio Banderas, and I was like, hey, Jack Spratt, they were like old friends, right? They were both swindlers, but old pals. And that was another session where the session ends and we're all in the green room now, or we're all in the engineer's side of the room and the camera's on us. And it was like a bunch of us, the writers, the producers, and it's him like saying hi from New York. He's like, hey, who is doing Puss in Boots today? Who's the guy doing the voice match for Antonio? And I was like, hi. And it was like, you know, the kid from Up, you know, like, hey, it's me. And he goes, oh my God, that was you? You were doing that the whole time? Like, he freaked out. Like, you know, you had mentioned, like, you know, me, this face of Bugs Bunny, or the face of, I think the way I look makes my voices sound even better. Not even the fact that the voices are like average. It's just the coming out of this, like, you know, like you don't expect it, I guess.
It's the best.
Yeah, you know,
I gotta say, you mentioned Leguizamo. I saw him 2 months ago in Violent Night.
Oh, right, he was the bad guy in that, right?
And I was like, he is still the best.
He's still the best.
I just watched The Menu.
The Menu, yeah.
He was in that as well. Like, he's getting work. He's still rocking it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Eric, we got a bunch of questions that I want to hit through some of them. We had some questions submitted today on Instagram, and I want to just rapid fire some of these at you. Some of these are pretty standard boilerplate questions. I'm sure you've had them a million times before, so feel free to give them your rapid fire answers. But this one comes in from BBubby22, and it says, what voice do you do that you hate being asked to do because you feel like it's not quite your best?
For me, it was like, you know, Stimpy, like Ren and Stimpy.
Really?
There was a reboot for Ren and Stimpy. And this was like, it was the early 2000s. Jackass was like the big thing, right? I think the 90s gross out cartoons and gross out humor was kind of like squashed by Jackass. Cause like, right. You have a well-animated fart scene in Ren and Stimpy, but then you, like, there here's Steve-O with a fishbowl and a tube from some guy's butt going right to his face. I'm like, I'd rather watch that. You know, like, that's the new gross-out humor. So, you know, again, not to knock the show that I was on, because, again, at the time, it was like, you know, I will always look back at my years at that studio, Spumco, and look at the friends that I made from that. You know, the best part about working at a studio that's run by like this maniac, like a tyrant, like even before, you know, Chris Felucci got, you know, me too'd. But like, he was always notorious for being a difficult director or someone difficult to work with. And it's because he demanded like quality. But, you know, I say strive for hit, swing for the fences, but don't make your employees cry. You know what I mean? Right. Like I was the studio therapist. But for me, that situation was strange because they wanted Billy West back. They reached out to Billy and he's like,
nah, thanks. You know, like, I'm the red M&M. I'm good. I'm Fry from Futurama. I don't need this. And it's like, yeah, rightfully so. He the ship has sailed for him on Ren and Stimpy.
You know what's funny about Billy West is Howard Stern always talks about how Billy West is the one that got away for him.
Sure.
Billy West was Howard's intern.
He was, you know, again, he's Billy's like, and I've met Billy, we're friends, and it's like, he's one of the most talent, like, he is, again, one of those weird anomalies where it's like, man, he is real magic. You know, what he does is like, who would even think that, oh, this cat needs to sound like Larry Fine from the Three Stooges, right? Like, oh boy, hey Mo, I peed on my shoe, you know, like, oh joy. Like, I enjoyed mimicking that because I always equate me voicing Stimpy as to how he must have felt when he booked Bugs Bunny. You know what I mean? Like, because my Bugs Bunny was Stimpy growing up. You know what I mean? Like, his Bugs Bunny was Bugs Bunny growing up. I mean, it's me too, but I mean, like, he really is. I call him the Mel Blanc of today, not because he's done Mel Blanc voices, but because he's created as many unique original characters as Mel Blanc did. I mean, Come on, you're watching Futurama and you're watching him talk to himself in five different characters.
That's amazing.
And it's like Mel Blanc. It's like unbelievable. So for me, like, taking on Stimpy was like, it was fun, but it's like saying you voiced, you know, Barney Rubble for a Fruity Pebbles commercial. It's like, it's not going to be the Flintstones, right? The new Ren and Stimpy was never like the original one. It'll never be.
So does that mean that somewhere inside the soul of Eric Bauza is the desire to create a whole whack of original characters?
Oh,
that
absolutely. Absolutely. That's the dream. You know, it's like Tom Kenny and SpongeBob. It's like, you want to be the, you know, where, you know, Seth MacFarlane and Peter Griffin, you know, you want to be the guy that makes the voice that everyone wants to imitate, you know?
Yeah.
Homer Simpson. Oh gosh. That was a voice that I loved doing in high school. And, you know, like, everyone loved it, but I didn't create it. So, like, you know, that would be the next big goal. But I,
you know, if all I ever do, Doc, is be a number six on the Bugs Bunny list, I'm fine with that, Doc. feed me carrots till I'm dead.
But you don't even have to be number six anymore because you're number one. You're the one that actually won the award.
That's the crazy thing, man. I'm like, how could that be? Like,
where were you when you got the call on that?
Well, I mean, I was at the Emmys.
You didn't know it. You didn't know. You didn't,
yeah.
I was sitting there, and I'm up against Mark Hamill, Frank Welker, Gray Delisle, and Tom Kenny, which I like to call them IMDb. Like, all of their credits combined take up half of the space on IMDb.
Right.
And I'm like, how the hell, like, why am I here just to eat free shrimp and park cars, you know? Like, I'm honored to be stuffed into a tuxedo, a penguin suit, and be there with my friends. But when they called my name, I was there sitting going, yes, Gray finally won hers, or Tom won again, or, you know, I was not expecting to be called to the stage. And when I did, it was a surreal experience because I'm sitting there. yeah. You know, anytime you're forced to speak in front of, like, a public audience when you don't want to, holding this 6-pound, you know, weight. And LeVar Burton staring at you in the front row, you know,
reading Rainbow.
As you're doing Daffy Duck voice, spinning all over everyone.
It was just surreal, you know, and it's still like one of those things where I will be forever thankful, but just not. I will be forever in disbelief.
Where is the Emmy now? Where do you have it situated?
It's in a box. It's in its box that it came in. And I, you know. Like, if people want to
you
see it,
you need to get a chain, and you need to wear that around your neck like Flava Flav's clock. At least for the first year.
I have rubber cement. I'm going to glue it to the hood of my car when I drive around.
That's the move. Dude, I got to think that's crazy because you're probably sitting there with all those incredible nominees and thinking, like, I'm going to get Susan Lucci'd.
And that's the crazy part, because there was a guy there at the it was the Children and Family Emmys. They separated them from the daytime because children's programming has become so big and more categories kept getting added that it needed its own ceremony.
Yeah.
And Yeah, there was a guy that was up there that was like, this is my 12th nomination and first victory. And I'm like, and again, like someone like Grey Delisle, who's been working longer than me and has definitely, she's way more talented than I am. You know, she's an amazing voice actress and one of my heroes. And the fact that that was her first nomination, I also want to say, if we're separating the Emmys from, you know, the children's programming from the rest of the Emmys, and we are creating more space, I would love to put in a vote for, you know, they separated the kids from the adults because they used to have kids in our category for voice performance, but now they have young performers. I say go a step further and give the ladies their own category, because every time that I've been nominated, it's always been like, you know, one or two. It was always like either a kid, a woman, and then the rest dudes, or four dudes and, you know, one female performer. There's so many female performers that get overlooked in this category. And I'm like, they can have their own category, and it would be amazing.
I want to run through a couple of these real quick. They're not really questions. They're more just comments. Micah's mom said, what's up, doc? There is one here from Labor Jen that says, have you ever considered doing a convention with Jeff Bergman?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I would love to anytime. I love Jeff. Jeff is, again, arguably one of the best. He was the first one to follow Mel Blanc in these characters and did it so seamlessly back in 89.
Inkhouse Productions writes, are you familiar with Mighty Mouse? Come on, duh. It says, I always envision you as the voice of Oil Can Harry.
From Mighty Mouse?
I guess.
Oil Can Harry. Well, I'll have to look that one up. I know what that is. I'm just like, you know, I need to see.
I can't hear the voice in my head. This one is from AGT24. What are the most helpful tips for voice acting for a new voice actor?
Good acting. It's almost like you got to put acting first before the voice, because unless the character you're portraying or playing, whether it's a voice match or an original character, if there is no weight to that character, if there's nothing grounded in any kind of reality, then it just a voice, a wacky voice. A lot of people think, oh, I could do that, it's easy. And then even like trained actors that come in, they get kind of like, you know, there's no camera. There's nothing else there but your voice. And you need to learn how to control that in a cartoon. Like it's weird. There's so many different things that are incorporated in a all around solid performance in voiceover. But yeah, it should always start with good acting, and then the voices will follow.
A message here from Tank Girl, and it says, how did you get started in voice acting? Seems like a tough industry to get into. Tank Girl, I would suggest you go listen to episode 53 of this show, the last time that Eric was on, because he talked about that in detail. This one is from Lucas Santos Tunes, and it says, what was your favorite Looney Tunes cartoon that you recorded? No, I'm a big fan.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I mean, anytime I get to play Bugs talking to Marvin the Martian, because those were always my favorite. You know, I'm going to blow up the Earth.
The Earth?
Yes, because it blocks my view of Venus.
Okay. You know what I always say, another man's meat is another man's poison. And wait, the Earth? You can't blow up the Earth. My friends live there.
Sorry, Earth creature. Yeah, I mean, anytime I get, you know, those two are always my favorite characters.
Eric, I'm wondering if we can do something with you before we say goodnight, because you've been awesome with your time and we're always appreciative. Can we do, like, the last time you were here with us, our pal and your longtime buddy Danny-O was with us, and Dan is now busy doing other things, other endeavors. He was here with us on the show a few weeks ago and he's doing his own thing. So the original two Godfathers are still holding down the fort. But the last time you were here, you gave us your rendition of Dear Hip Hop, which was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was great. I'm wondering if we can do something a little different this time. If we put a stopwatch on it, say we do like 90 seconds, how many voices can you hit, like completely different voices in 90 seconds? Just switch back and forth and we'll have the audience like play along and name each and every voice.
Okay. Let's see what we can do here.
All right. Let's get a little stopwatch and go.
What's up, Doc? I'm Bugs Bunny, and you're listening to The Godfathers of Podcasting. They're despicable. It's rabbit season! Fire!
Oh, I'm sorry, fellas. I can't wait any longer. I gotta blast one of you.
Ooh, I'm gonna get that rabbit if it's the last thing I do.
Oh, gosh, I'm so starved. I'm gonna eat that little yellow bird.
Oh, you don't want to eat me, Putty Cat. I'm just a big cranium and a tiny buddy. Are you really the last of the dodos? Yeah, I'm the last of the dodos.
Wilma, we gotta go bowling.
Sure, Fred. Let me go get Betty.
Down, Dino, down, Dino.
Oh, hello there, dum-dums. Oh, Fred, it's our friend, the Great Gazoo. You guys really are a bunch of rockheads.
Yogi?
Yes, Mr. Ranger, sir.
I've told you once, don't eat those picnic baskets.
You better listen, Yogi. He's the ranger.
Okay, boo-boo.
Amazing.
I don't know.
Eric Bauza. What
sometimes
a genius.
I just, I just kind of pass out and I wake up and I'm like, oh, what happened? And I've wet my pants and I can't go.
You know what? You know what I want to hear? I want to hear all the outtakes, all the fuck ups.
Yes.
In those voices, you know what I mean? Because I can only imagine, just like every other kind of acting,
there's lots.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? For anyone out there, because I know we just debuted this week, Tid, on the SNME network, which has all kinds of wrestling fans out there. I'm sure a lot of them are familiar with this. I just got introduced to this recently. I don't know, Eric, if you watched any WWF back in the 80s, but someone just turned me on to these clips on YouTube of longtime friend of ours, of Tid and I, who sadly passed away a few years ago, Mean Gene Okerlund. And yeah, he would do the backstage stand-up interviews with the talent. And on YouTube, you can find the outtakes.
And no, he like bloopers, like,
oh
like,
yeah, dude. They... And he's cussing guys out.
Oh,
like, it's funny, right? Because Gene had this like dry wit, you know. Yeah.
And I mean, he has to deal with these, like, you know, roided out wrestlers, like, on a daily basis.
There's one where he's like, he's supposed to be doing a stand up with Kamala, another longtime friend of ours, and he's like, "Hey, Kamala, what's this shit about you missing your promos in St. Louis?" And he's like, "Oh," and then Kamala like breaks character, so he walks away, and then, okay, Friday, come in. He grabs Kamala's manager. You get in here. Well, what the fuck is this shit about Kamala missing interviews in St. Louis?
Just wasting tape. Just completely wasting tape.
He pulls Kamala. What are you doing in some hotel room in the middle of nowhere when you're supposed to be doing interviews in St. Louis? And Kamala's like, "Oh, I do a little fucky." And Gene's like, "Okay."
Wow. Good. I need to see this. I loved, do you remember they had the album, like the music album?
Yes, we were just referencing that off the top when we were talking about our favorite awards shows.
It was like Land of a Thousand Wrestlers.
Land of a Thousand Dances.
Yeah, why wasn't Hogan in that? I always...
He was. He's in the Land of a Thousand Dances.
He doesn't have a singing part, though.
He didn't have a solo, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't,
but he's there clapping away.
Oh, he is. Okay. I need to see the video. Because I remember Rowdy Piper goes, "Hogan's such a yo-yo." He calls him a yo-yo.
Yeah.
I remember Mean Gene and Jesse the Body. My favorite like interstitial that they did on that album was like, it was coming up next. We got Captain Lou Albano and George the Animal Steel. And Jesse Ventura's like, "Captain Lou Albano, what's he gonna do? Strum the rubber bands on his face?" Yeah.
I listened to that album 100,000 times.
Laughed my ass off as a child every time. What's he gonna do? Gene strum the rubber bands on his face. You know, like, because that was his whole thing. But yeah, okay, there it is. Oh my god. But
there's Gene. Okay,
this is them, like, this is like live, right?
Yeah,
There's a different video though, where it's like, I'll have to show you.
This one's not Land of a Thousand Dances. This is a different song.
You could probably put We Are the World to this. I'm watching them do that movement, and all I'm hearing in my head is We Are the World.
Anytime you got a group of people dressed like that, it's going to be We Are the World for sure.
Amazing.
So much fun. Eric, thanks, man. Listen, next time you come on, we're going to do that virtual tour and look at all your toys and stuff, man.
Dude, I will have it ready. I have like a ton of like great artwork too, like some rare stuff. I own like animation cells from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like the last thing I see every day, if I leave my house, is like an animation cell of that scene in Roger Rabbit where Eddie Valiant, Bob Hoskins, is falling.
And Bugs and Mickey Mouse are in the frame, and jumping without a parachute, kind of dangerous, ain't it, Doc?
Oh, yeah, you could get killed.
Yeah,
you should give him the spare, Bugs.
I don't think you want it.
I do, give it to me.
Okay, Doc, here's the spare.
And he gives him the rubber tire. But amazing. I have, like, one of those frames where Bugs and Mickey are in the same shot together.
How's this for one? I feel like I have a couple micro impressions. What about this one? If I go, I'll get you, Bowser.
Hey,
next time.
There it is. Dr. Claw is at the museum and he's about to steal the Mona Lisa. This message will self-destruct. Yeah,
that's great. Amazing. Good job. You nailed it.
See, we could tag team it and people figure out what I am.
I smell a reboot. Yeah.
Anytime you are ever doing season 2 on CBC Gem of Stay Tuned and you are stuck because someone canceled and then the guy after that canceled and the guy after that canceled, you know how to reach me, dude.
Hey, I'll shine the bat signal.
Bowzilla, thank you so much for hanging out with us. You are a monster of talent and we are indebted for your time. Hopefully we'll get to talk again soon.
I'm going
to
look up.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, I'm going to look up this festival going on.
Oh, yeah.
This convention in Burbank. So when it happens and I come down there, you'll get to see my legs.
Dude, let's go.
100%.
You'll get to see what Tid looks like after a full bottle of tequila like I did 2 weeks ago.
What better way than at Monsterpalooza?
But Donnie, Tid, thanks for having me. That's all, folks.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. That is Eric Bauza. Absolutely love him. One of our favorite guests on this program. And that is that for this week. Tid, before we go, I want to remind everyone, okay, because I just got in my fresh delivery of
I have the same stuff.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I don't,
you
have
the Star Wars one.
No, because I'm not a nerd.
Well, I am a nerd.
Exactly. 100%.
Yep. I got Star Wars soap. Okay. Look, I got the Darth Vader heavy grit dark side scrub.
I got the pine tar. I got the wood barrel bourbon.
Fresh
and
fall.
I got the what was the other one? The something wood.
Wood barrel bourbon.
Yeah.
I've got the Valentine's special, the Bow Chicka Wow Wow.
All right.
And this one I'm really excited about because I'm a coffee head. I got the cold brew cleanse. And I even picked up one of their citrus deodorants.
Okay.
So stuff is amazing. And I'll be honest with you. I bought my first bar of Dr. Squatch a couple weeks ago, just on a whim. And that's when we reached out to them and asked them to sponsor us, right? I bought it off Amazon. Off Amazon, it cost me almost $30 after tax. All of this here, I got on a quarterly subscription, and it was just over $35 for all of this on a quarterly subscription.
Six
bars.
They're not small bars either.
No, dude, these are heavy duty buggers. Like,
right?
These things are big. Here, let me open one up.
But I'll tell you straight up.
This is a thick piece of.
Yeah, it's an inch thick by like 3.5 by 3.5 square. No
doubt. It's all natural. No bullshit in there.
That pine tar one, it will exfoliate you like
It's great, right?
Unbelievably.
Isn't it a trip when you put it on and your skin turns black for a second?
These smells that they've incorporated into these natural soaps, they've done a fantastic job. I'm not just saying this because, you know, of whatever, but they actually are. I'm impressed. And listen, at the end of the day, I'm usually one of those, it's soap.
It's soap.
But no. This is a different level of soap. Do yourself a favor and you can go and check it out. We have a link on our socials right now.
And on the godfathersofpodcasting.com.
There's a link right off of there. Please go do yourselves a favor. Even if you don't and you forget about it, go do yourselves a favor. We'd like it if you went through our website, but you know what? You deserve to use this kind of product because it's good.
I always tell people,
and I don't put anybody over.
I always tell people I'm a lousy salesman, and I believe I am, but this doesn't feel like selling when you're just telling people about a product that you love. That's really what it is. And we think of our audience as extended family, and we're sharing this with our extended family. I thought this was just a TikTok gimmick, man. They went TikTok viral, and I thought, okay, I'll bite. I'll try it out. And I figured like every other TikTok thing that I bid on, I would be disappointed. This is a great product. I don't like to put things over and shill to my audience. Give it a shot, man. Even if you just want to try one time, see what it's like, go for it. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Try it out. Go through our website. The promo code is DSCSquatch10. You'll get 10% off and you will save with free shipping on any order that is over $50. And I had to scrape to get my order to $50 because like I said, all this was like under 40, you know,
it's crazy.
And so I had to keep adding shit, which is why I added the deodorant and some other, because I wanted to get the free shipping. But try it out, man. If you don't like it, come back and let us know. They also have a money back guarantee. So there is that too. Tid, that's it for me. How about you, man?
That seems weird. Money back on soap.
I don't think you're going to ship it back, but they're saying if you're not satisfied, we'll refund you.
Unbelievable. That's it for me, brother. I am golden. Go Birds.
You're dirty birds. Eagles are in the super bore this weekend.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. What do you think?
One and one more and done.
Bengals by 15.
Bengals aren't even in it.
So, that's right. The Chiefs. My bad.
It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the Kelce Bowl. It's the Patrick is Mahomey taking on the Jalen make it hurt so good. So it's going to be a hell of a game. I hope.
Final score prediction?
27-24 Eagles.
Woo! That would be a sexy game. Mm-hmm. That would be a sexy game. I have no dog in this fight. So
that's right, because your team lost.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Friday, I wonder if you could get him to put this. I know. That means I missed interviews in St. Louis. Right. Isn't that what that means, Friday? That he missed interviews in St. Louis? When he should have been there, it was on the booking sheet. He missed interviews. Come here. No, I'm not kidding. Come here, Friday. Come here. Come on in here. Friday, you're kayfabe. Come here. Right, sure. You speak of the language. Kamala, what's this shit about you missing interviews in St. Louis? I want an honest answer here. I'm going to confront you. I'm just like, what's his name, Walter Cronkite.
I don't speak English, and I can't read English, so I missed the interview.
Yeah, well, I thought we had it, though. It was written up in Swahili by James Barnett. I thought you would have got the goddamn message. This is ridiculous. When you're supposed to be in St. Louis for interviews, what the hell are you doing sitting on your ass in some goddamn hotel over in Ipswich, Illinois?
I do a little fucky.
Oh, okay. That's very good. That's real good. Okay, good. Yes, we're going to be right back after this. Thank you, Kamala, and good Friday.